Welcome to Business Matters with Laura Nowlin. And first, I want to start off with thanking our sponsors. Our sponsors today is CS Now Staffing. You can reach them at 702-902-2448. Another great sponsor that we have today is Andrea. She's with Creativa Consulting, and a place where you can reach her is 702-296-6242. And today's special guest that I have is Edies, and her last name is Ramos Jones. Welcome, Edies.
Thank you so much, Lara.
Yeah, and remember, this show is a conversation.
Yeah, okay, so I get comfortable.
You get comfortable. It's a conversation you and I get to have, and our listeners get to eavesdrop.
Sounds good.
So feel right at home. So, Edies, where were you born? Because I love just reading about your story. So I just can't wait till you share everyone of where you were born and where you were made.
I'm originally... you read that. I'm originally from Ecuador.
Yeah.
I always have it with me. Originally from Ecuador and made in the United States of America. Yes.
Yeah, I can tell from the first day that I met you that you're a very proud American.
Absolutely. This country has given me everything that I have, and I'm not talking about material stuff. I'm talking about family, talking about home, a career, great friends. People in America have been nothing but great to me, and I just think that we gotta love back. We gotta love it back. So, and I do.
Great. And so, when you first came to from Ecuador here to the U.S., how old were you?
Now you're going to see.
Yeah. Tell us your story.
My age. Well, I am 39 years old, and I came when I was 28.
Okay.
I came with when my daughter was 6 weeks old. She was born in Ecuador, but she was immediately an American citizen because her father is an American. So when we came here, the whole process, the immigration process took place while I was in Ecuador. And I remember, back home, I was the administrator for a very large hospital that we have in Ecuador. I did that for 8 years, loved every singular thing that I did there. But then I came here when we were going through the process. I didn't want to come to America. That was not in my plans, but definitely God have different plans for me. I remember when I got the letter saying that I have to come, actually, it was the most devastating day in my life, I thought, back then. Because I had everything back there, you know, and I left everything. I'm what it's called here a first-generation immigrant. All my family are still in Ecuador. So leaving home, my family, my friends, a career, it was definitely very difficult.
I bet.
I came straight from Ecuador. Guayaquil is the city I was born in, and it's a city. And then I came directly to West Virginia, rural West Virginia.
Okay.
So that was, and I have never been to the States before. So definitely, you know, when you are in a different country, all you get to see from America is what you see in the movies. So I thought America was all, you know, buildings like, I don't know, New York, Las Vegas, LA, and there I was. Rural West Virginia. That was definitely a shock, a cultural shock. But and I didn't speak the language.
So you only spoke Spanish?
I only spoke Spanish. I never met a person that looked at like me or spoke Spanish. But definitely that helped me. That pushed me to learn the language. I used to drive almost 2 hours every day to the nearest town where I was. I took English as a second language.
Okay.
I did that for almost a year, and I learned the language.
2 hour drive.
Almost
that's some dedication. Let me tell you, your English is great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because you haven't even been here that long. You already came as an adult here. And so for you to then pick up the second language and not as a child, that gets very difficult.
Yeah.
So then you're coming from a busy city.
Yeah.
So then you were expecting and to come I, to like New York.
Absolutely. The funny thing is that all I packed was, you know, my dresses and my high heels, thinking that I was my bad, because I never even Googled it. I should have at least Googled it, right? But I think if I did it, we will not have this. We will not be having this conversation. But anyways, I never used my high heels in West Virginia, for sure. I bought some boots and, you know, jeans, and there I was.
Cowboy hat.
I didn't get that far. I love cowboy hats, but no, I didn't get that far. But I was there for 2 years, two very long years, and then I came to Las Vegas for what I call, it was a miracle. It was after a lot of praying. So that's why Las Vegas is very, very special for me. It will always be. To me, Las Vegas was the answer to all of my prayers. So was my answer from God, and here I am.
So I want to go back with how you even made it to the U.S. So then you got married. How?
I met my ex-husband in Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had a business there.
Okay.
And everything was fine. He's an American. He was, as I say, he had a business there. And everything was apparently fine until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, back then, the country was in hands of a very socialist president, very corrupt too. And unfortunately, my ex-husband lost his business. And I was already pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I was actually applying for a tourist visa.
Okay.
Because I wanted to come and visit meet his family and things. But the idea of living here was never even a conversation, because I had a career there. I have everything there, and he had a business there. So I thought, you know, we can come and visit, and that was about it. But yeah, one day he lost everything, and he had no other option but coming back. He had to come back to his country, and, you know, so that he could take care of his family.
Right.
And we couldn't keep that relationship, me being there, he being here. So we made the decision that I have to come here. I wanted to keep my family together, and that's the reason why I came.
And so then how did you end up in Las Vegas, Nevada? I know you said that you prayed.
One lucky day. Well, let's see. What I can tell you is that my time in West Virginia was not necessarily easy, not only for the cultural shock and because I was alone there, but my marriage wasn't great. And one day he have to move. He got offered a job here, and that was okay, this is it. This is the moment that I thought actually I could finally escape from West Virginia.
Okay.
That's how I will describe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why for me it was a miracle. And I got here, I started working, and then I got divorced. And yeah, I always, lately, when I share my story, I share something that's super personal, but the reason why I do it is because I want women out there to see if at least one person can take my experience as an advice. I'm happy to share that.
Yeah.
But you know, during the time that I got divorced here in Vegas, and again without anybody, I didn't know anybody here. But one day I made a decision that what was happening was enough, and I left the house, never came back, and I rented a place where my daughter and I went to live, and my daughter and I were sleeping on a mattress on the floor because I couldn't afford anything else. But I couldn't afford a house for her or even a bed for her, but I gained my freedom. Yeah. and definitely a lesson for her, lesson for her that you cannot settle for a bad person in your life.
Right.
And so, yeah, we stayed there. It wasn't a fun time during that time because if I had money for the food, I couldn't pay the rent. If I had money for the rent, I couldn't buy the food. It was definitely very difficult. My divorce, I say now, is a joke because I left everything. That was the reason why he finally signed the papers. Mm-hmm. But again, I would say I lost a home, but I gained a home. I lost a house, but I gained a home, and definitely my freedom. That was the most important thing that I was seeking and back then. Yeah.
How long were you married? Your first marriage?
4 years.
4 years.
For very long years.
Yeah. So I was married for 15 years, had 3 kids, and also went through a divorce, and I truly hit rock bottom. I felt like if I lost my other half, and I was very sick for 2 years on heavily medication in order for me to deal with what had just happened. In my head, it was only 2 months, but I couldn't even take care of my kids for 2 years. Yeah. I completely understand where you're coming from. We sold all our properties. I ended up in a mobile home, in an actual mobile home, and I thought, what the heck just happened to me? I went back to waitressing after finishing my career and being in a really high paying position in California. And I found freedom by actually coming to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
And so it was like the Lord sent me to the desert to save me.
That is true. I love the desert. I do love Nevada for sure because of that. And you know, you see a lot of these things are actually more common than what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Women that are here, that are immigrants, then go through a lot of challenges. Then sometimes they don't want to, and that was my case too. And I was here legally, I had my green card back then, like everything was fine, but I was still afraid of going with the police and say what was happening to me. I was afraid because I didn't understand the laws. I didn't have anybody. You know, his favorite thing was to tell me then he was going to take the baby away from me. And you tell me that. I mean, you say anything about my kid, and at that moment you get
that's
me,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was true. I thought he was being, I mean, I didn't know better, right? But it was when I came here and I started working, and actually my coworkers were like, Iris, it's not like that, blah, blah, blah. So they actually encouraged me. One day I left and I never came back. And I'm very proud of that.
Good, good. Yeah. Now, from there, how did you end up with the position that you have now?
Well, that wasn't, it wasn't immediately. Then, you know, a couple years later of that divorce, I met my husband. Probably I have done something good in life to meet that guy. He has definitely been super good with me. I say, you know, I was broken in every shape of and form. Like I was not in a good place. He did heal me and believe in me and always actually push me to do better and do something else. Okay, what else do you want to do? You know, and see things in me that I don't see most of the times. After that, I did real estate, actually. I did real estate for 7 years. Okay. 6 years, 7 years. I found a passion of serving others. I love selling real estate. I had a great team. My team leader was also my mentor. I own him a lot on how other person and also believe in me, he helped me to develop a lot of skills, I guess, or a lot of ways to believe in myself and my potential. And the funny part about about how I got to him, and I want to share this with you so that you can know me a little bit and the way that I am. So I saw this guy. I was a solo agent first, and I was like, okay, I'm not going anywhere here. I can't figure this thing out. And one day I just started, I was like, how about I get a, I am part of a team.
Yeah.
So I found these guys put in advertisement, and I saw like, it was a list, I'm not kidding you, like 10, 15 things and he was requesting, right? And I was like, shoot, I have no experience. I have none of these things. I do have a license though. I do have a license. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to him. Not to the normal website where he had put this the job mm-hmm. advertisement. I reached out to him on his website, and the part where it says, do you need our services? Like when you request his service,
yeah.
You're right? And I was like, he's going to read this.
Right.
Right? Because it's like somebody's trying to buy a house. So 100% sure that he was going to read my email. So I did that. And I was super clear with him, and I say, hey, I saw your advertisement. I do not meet any of your requirements. I do have a license, and I do speak Spanish. He called me.
Nice.
We had a very long conversation. He interviewed me in person. We have a very long conversation. And I have never heard the word first generation immigrant before. He was the one who brought it up.
Okay.
And as we were talking, he had talking a little bit about my story, where I'm coming from, and etc. And my English wasn't, I mean, if it is kind of good now, it wasn't even this kind of good back then. He told me, he said, you're a first generation immigrant. And I said, yeah, whatever, sure.
whatever
you want to call me. And he said, there is something about first generation immigrants. He say, after you would most likely come more people. You are setting up the path for the rest of the people. Therefore, the first generation immigrants don't fail. Mm-hmm. There is something about you guys. Then I know that you're going to do anything that you can and everything to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, does that mean I get the job? Because I have never heard it before. I was like, okay. And he called me. He said, well, let's wait a couple of days. But he called me in the next day and said, you got the job. And awesome. And it was a huge blessing, because not only did I learned the business from him, but as I say, mm-hmm. he was my mentor. I'm very grateful with him. I was with him for five years. And we set a lot of goals, and I did accomplish all of those goals, and he kept reminding me. Mm-hmm. And there is something about these first-generation immigrants. And I did Google what it was. I was with him, and then when I got the 40 under 40, it was one of my goals.
Right, your award.
My award,
recognition.
My recognition. It was one of the things that I set up and I wanted to accomplish. And also, I always say, I think it's funny, but one of my goals was to make more money than my husband. When I told my husband, he was like, what? And I said, well, I see him as a successful person, so if I can make more money than you, then that means that I am successful. And I did it. I did it one year. But anyways, I did real estate. And during that time, I started going out to the community, because I also learned that there are many ways to get clients. One of those ways is the face-to-face. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at over the phone. I don't like talking over the phone. Spanish and English, I just don't like it. And I just discovered then my thing and I was better at was the face-to-face. So I started going to networking events, mm-hmm. and my husband works actually in politics. And that became my circle.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes,
right?
No, perfect sense.
And those were my friends. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that I was meeting.
Right.
But that was not like not oriented to any political anything. It was my real estate business.
Mm-hmm.
But that allowed me to meet great people in his world. And also, I was, and still, I am a part of the Citizen Review Board. It's a board that Metro has.
Right, for the police department.
For the police department. Mm-hmm. And he was the sheriff back then. And the Citizen Review Board, I actually represented the Hispanic community. So we used to give, and still do now to the current sheriff, but the board advise the sheriff in different matters when it comes to citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They complain against Metro. So we review
the complaints
mm-hmm. and we give our advices. So I had the opportunity to meet back then Sheriff Lombardo, and then once, as I say, I met him there, but also I was seeing him here on this other ward. I did go door knocking for him because
it was campaigning,
and it's interesting because I did believe, and I still do. I do believe in his mission. I do believe he's the best governor.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, I did believe in what he wanted to do with the state. And my friends were involved in the campaign, were working for him. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, you know, we're going to go door knocking. I was like, I'm coming. Like,
okay.
I love this because mm-hmm. I used to door knock for real estate. And I had the opportunity to meet him there. During the campaign multiple times and talked to him, and one day they called me to serve in his cabinet, and it is definitely a blessing. It was something that has changed my life in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in real estate, I was being successful already. I was, selling a lot of houses, being recognized. And once I felt like once I was where I wanted to be, again, God wanted something different for me. Yeah. And he was like, okay, never mind. You accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish in real estate. Now it's time for you to move.
Yeah.
And I see this position like that. It is a huge honor to serve under Governor Lombardo's administration. He's a great leader, he's a great boss, he's a very firm boss too, but very caring at the same time. He knows what's happening in every department. He's always asking and worry not only for the department, but how you're doing, how are you feeling?
Yeah, as a person.
As a person, and mm-hmm. that's something that I really appreciate from him. But as I say, I'm very happy to serve with him, but for me, it goes above that. For me, it is a calling because...
Oh, definitely.
For 10 years, I went through a lot of challenges
mm-hmm.
that I never thought I was even going to be alive. Like, it's that drastic mm-hmm. because I was in a very bad place.
Right.
And I always had these questions to God, like, why, right? Why is this happening? I wanted to go back to Ecuador because mm-hmm. I have nothing here. So mm-hmm. There was no reason for me to stay, but now that I am in this position, I understand that everything that I went through was a lesson, so then now I can do my job.
Awesome. And so what is your title? What's the actual position that you have and what are you required to do? Like, how do you serve our community?
Okay, I'm the director for Governor's Office for New Americans. Mm-hmm. And in this position, but this is an office that was created back in 2019 with the intention of helping the immigrant community.
Okay.
Okay. To achieve, we help them let's back up a little bit. In 2019, it was created for that purpose. As of now, what we do is we serve New Americans.
We serve
New Americans that are here legally.
Okay.
Now, this is a question that somebody asked me yesterday, and I have to say that we are an estate agency.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As an estate agency, we're not allowed to ask. It's not legal to ask for the person's status.
Gotcha.
So if you call my office for help, I am going to help you.
Okay, whether they're legal or not.
Because I am never going to ask for their status.
Got it.
Or okay. Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, the programs that we are developing and that we are doing, it is focused on the new Americans and people that want or are in the process of becoming Americans. We are now having English as a second language classes. We have civic classes for when you have to take the test to become
for
U.S. Mm-hmm. citizenship. Mm-hmm. So we have those classes. We also have right now, we just started some medical English classes. And that is because we are going to be supporting a bill, and hopefully it passes in the next legislature session. And it is to break a lot of the barriers that there are right now for foreign medical. As of now, if you come to the States and you have been a doctor back home,
yes,
you got to start pretty
all
much from
over.
Zero, all mm-hmm. over. Okay, there are a couple of other states and already passed different laws, and we are hoping to pass a law here that will break some of those barriers, so then these people can have the opportunity to now exercise, you know, the same, stay in the same field. So right now we actually have found 63 doctors in the community then are supporting our efforts, and we have been listening to their stories.
Yeah.
It has been great, but at the same time, very sad. You have mm-hmm. doctors working mm-hmm. in fast food restaurants.
And warehouses.
You have doctors, you have surgeons working mm-hmm. in warehouses, exactly. So when we met with them, one of the barriers that we see is the language. And because I'm very passionate about language, because I just shared with you,
right.
I used to drive. And I just think that if you don't know the language, you are missing out a lot of opportunities.
Oh, definitely. But I will tell you that we definitely have a big, huge need, mm. not just in Nevada, but through the whole United States, that mm. we don't have enough doctors,
yeah.
right? So that's an area that we need to figure out, how are we going to be able to create mm. doctors? And if they're coming in from a different country and they are legally here and coming in here legally, we've got to figure this out
yeah.
on how we're going to get them to be back as doctors and not working in a drive-through, not working in a warehouse.
Yeah.
So yes, I agree with you, and believe me, I do support that bill. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're down to a few minutes left on our show. In closing, what would you like to share with the audience? What is an ask that you're going to ask them for? And then also a phone number if you could share on how they can get a hold of you, on how they can help you.
I think in today's world, I would like for people to understand that there are a lot of first-generation Americans out there, or a lot
yes.
of new Americans out
mm-hmm.
there, that are hungry of an opportunity. I think that what it have taken me to here, to this point in my life, have been, yes, a lot of, I don't know, stubbornness probably, but also people giving me opportunities, and that is what I'm committed to do. Mm-hmm. As long as I am in that position, I am committed to give people like myself opportunities. Please support what we're doing. Support New Americans. Support people that have the drive to accomplish something.
Right.
Because we don't have anything here. We have nothing to lose. Trust me. We have already lost so much back home. Mm-hmm. So what is a little bit, you know, bugs here and there? We are committed to be successful in this country, and we love this country. I really think that way. So give them an opportunity, give them a chance,
right,
and support the efforts that we are trying to do with this office. I think that if we give them an opportunity, we are going to have a lot of bright, very committed people.
I agree.
Support our Latino community as well, and they can call us if anybody needs anything. Like, and by anything I mean it. We have had horrible cases that we have help in the community. Very simple cases. But if you are an immigrant, if you are a newcomer and you have an issue, even if we can't solve it, at least we will connect you with the right resources. So you are not alone. I want people to have what I didn't have. And that is what I'm committed to do, to tell the people, hey, come to us. We're right here to help. And they can call us to our office. The phone number is 702-486-0800.
Thank you so much, Edies, for coming on our show and just sharing your story and just opening up and being vulnerable, you know, to at least share even personal stuff about you. So this is Edies Ramos-Jones, Executive Director, appointed by the governor for Governor's Office for New Americans. If you are an immigrant out there and you need help, right, that you came from a different country, call Edies and see how her and her staff may be able to assist you. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in on Business Matters, and thank you to our sponsors, CS Now Staffing y Creativa Consulting. Thank you. Have a great day.